As I radiate love and compassion, so I receive. As I radiate love and compassion, so I receive. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Now, what does the Absolute Philosopher think about? He thinks about, as I radiate love and compassion, so I receive. What do we radiate in our lives, every moment of our lives? Do we radiate love and compassion, or are we radiating something else? One of the most difficult circumstances for all of us in our life is to live in a world where we are surrounded by people who are trying to be something they're not. They're trying to be good, they're trying to be right, they're trying to be true, they're trying to be honest, trying to be loving, but they aren't because they still feel that they aren't. When we stop trying to be compassionate and loving and gentle and caring, then we are it. But so long as we're trying for it, then we are enunciating the fact that we are not it. Don't try to be a good boy. Don't try to be a good girl. Do it. And if you don't, that's a penalty comes. You see, you now, each one of us, should also have a penalty, and we do, for trying to do something rather than doing it. You see, when we try, we are giving ourselves an excuse for not doing it. We're giving ourselves an excuse for not following through and coming through with who and what we really are. I would say that a trier is trying on everybody, including himself. A trier is trying and a sapper. A trier is a great sapper. And I run into sappers now and then, and they attempt to cause me to be unhappy with them, and for a moment I fall in the trap, and then I instantly come out of it and ignore it. And then they get angry at me because I ignore their sapping me, and they're trying to try to do something instead of doing it. And this is really something that gets to everybody. Now, what you don't know, what you don't realize, is that every time you have a person who's sapping you, who is trying to do something, you are sapping and trying to do it. Because you could not see someone sapping you unless you're sapping. You could not see someone trying to do something unless you're trying to do it. Now, let's take that just a little step further so that you don't get your in a ringer. Because, you see, when the child goes to school and the teacher says, "Johnny, what is 2 times 2? He says, "What's the matter, stupid teacher? Don't you know what 2 times 2 is?" And the teacher says, "Yes, I do know." "Well, then why don't you tell me?" "Well, Johnny, you're here in school to learn what 2 times 2 is and what these things are." "Well, why do you ask me questions like that? That's not right." You see, and that's what sappers do. Sappers and people who try are asking silly questions like that, trying to get away without being responsible for things they're supposed to be responsible for. So now, let's, as we're taking that a step further there, what is it the teacher is doing? Is the teacher creating the student ignorant? Is the teacher creating the student a sapper? Is the teacher creating the student someone who tries and doesn't do it? No, the teacher is not creating them that way. The teacher has a whole bevy. But in a way, I guess you could say, yes, the teacher is doing that. Because we cannot create anything in our world that we are not. I'm going to tell this story again, because it's a good story. And I want you to listen with all your heart and all your soul and all your being and all your credulity, all your confidence. There was a teacher who taught underprivileged, or rather underachievers in school. Remember that story? This teacher taught underachievers in school. And she taught on the elementary level. She taught these, the high school level. She taught these underachievers. And they were kids who just couldn't quite make the mustard. And so every day she would work with them, and she knew they were underachievers, and she knew they were not going to make it, and she knew that any little spark that she gets out of them is a treasure. And so she worked with these students and worked with these students for years. She always got the underachievers because many of them achieved more than they had than they were expected to achieve. And then her principal came up to her one year, just as summer vacation was beginning, and he said, "Miss Jeremini, you have had the underachievers now for 5 years. I think it's about time that you have the achievers, the high achievers. So when you come back in fall, your class is going to be the high achievers." And she says, "Wow, what a great experience that will be. How I will love that." Well, she came back in fall, and in the process, in the meantime, the principal had been assigned to a new school. And she didn't know it, but the new principal just assigned her to whatever she had, the underachievers. And she came in there gaily expecting that she was going to be with the superachiever children, and she treated every one of the kids like a superachiever. She did not look at them like they were stupid. She didn't look at them like they were going to not make the grade, that they were going to not be able to do. She looked at them as being the achievers. And you know, super kids, genius kids, are sort of a pain in the butt too, you know. They do little stupid things. And so whenever these underachievers did stupid things, she thought that that was like a superachiever would do. And she didn't have the slightest doubt that these were superachievers acting up in class. And she treated them with all her heart and all her soul, because that's all she knew, as a superachiever. And at the end of the year, every one of the students of her class finished top of the list for that grade level. Top of the list. For in all the normal classes, as well as this class, top of the list. Now, it seemed impossible. The Reader's Digest had this article sometime back. It seemed impossible that this could be so, but it was. And then she went to the principal and she says, "You know, it's really wonderful working with the superachiever class." He said, "Oh?" He said, "Miss Jeremini, your class were the underachievers, like you've always had for 5 years. But the old principal said he was moving me to the superachievers." And he said, "Miss Jeremini, you made the underachievers into superachievers. You've taught us all a lesson that if we will treat these kids as superachievers and believe in them and have not one little thought that they might be underachievers, not one little thought, they will demonstrate the superachiever status." And they did. They did. So I look at each of you as being divine. I look at each of you as being God. I look at each of you as being superachievers. I look at each of you as doing whatever you choose to do, and you're doing it, whatever you choose to do. Now, what I want to encourage you to do is have a little higher opinion of yourself, a little higher attitude toward yourself. I was riding with our handyman, and he came late, you know, in the morning, and I said to him, "Well, how are you doing today? You look so sparkly. You look so filled with magic. You must be had a great evening, you know." And he says, "I do feel it's my better day." And I said, "You look just great." I said, "All your days are better days." And he said, "No, some are." I said, "Not for me." I said, "As far as I'm concerned, you are a super boy. You are a super handyman. You can do anything. You can accomplish anything. I'm just so proud of you." And the smile kept growing bigger and bigger on his face, you know. And I meant it. And because I know he can do all these things. And so I went on and on. He says, "Now, can you show me the path that you want done?" And I said, "Well, let's drive up there." And so we drove up there. And he said, "I went up there." I said, "Yeah, but we turn." And I said, "That was nice that you went up there, but now we turn." And I showed him how we turn and how we go by the ohm bench and things like that. And he said, oh. He says, "I didn't even know this was here. And oh, this is great." And then we took a different path down below where where Heinz had made some path, and John Dainty had made a path, and then we came back onto our original path, and I said, but we go up there. And then we drove down, and he said, can I go through this way, straight ahead? I said, oh, no. There are steps there. We turn left. I said, I'm so used to driving that I just do it automatically. I don't stop to think that we don't go straight ahead. He said, bump, 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 down the steps. And he said, oh, yeah, good. But you see, I don't know. I do know. He did a great job today, whatever he did. And he went home for a long lunch. He must have really felt like eating a lot and taking a nap and so forth. And then he came back. And when he came back, he was just all sort of bustly and happily walking around doing his thing and getting in the golf cart and driving to wherever he's going. He said it sure saves a lot of time, you know, than walking would, you know. And he's right. But you see, I am going to treat him and all of our handymen, we have three of them now, I'm going to treat them like super achievers. Super achievers. Now, all three of them at the moment are not quite making up a full-time person. And so it'll be interesting to see how my treating them as super achievers, you treating them as super achievers, brings the result of them being a super handyman. You see, as I radiate love and compassion, so I receive. As I radiate confidence that all the people in my world are super achievers, so I'm surrounded by super achievers. Ellen Germany, our associate here, she had such a strange idea. She loves her daughter, of course, and she loves her grandchildren. And she thinks her grandchildren are just great, 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 great. And from the get-go, as each one was born, she says, you're a genius, you're a genius, you're a genius, you're fantastic, you're fantastic. And every one of those grandchildren turned out to be super achievers in school, super achievers in athletics, super achievers. Now, their parents think they had something to do with it. And the kids think they had something to do with it. No way.
It was
all Ellen's doing. And that's a lovely thing to do. But the thing is, Ellen, don't chagrin laugh. Say, yes, you're right.
Of course.
Not of course. Yes, you're right.
Yes,
with
you're right.
Confidence, not with a silly laugh. Yeah, maybe I did. You did.
Of course.
And take credit for it. Now, you don't have to publicly take credit for it, but take credit in your consciousness, because this is how you create super achievers. This is how you create people surrounding you being beautiful. Now, how are the monks who surround you? Are they all super achievers?
Yes, super achievers.
How are the monks surrounding you? Are they all loving, compassionate, unconditionally loving to one another and to you? Are you unconditionally loving to them? Are you unconditionally loving to them? If you're unconditionally loving to them, what will happen?
They are unconditionally loving.
They are unconditionally loving. See, it all starts with us. It all starts with who we are. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Now, Ellen was talking with one of our students on the phone at supper time tonight. And I went like this to Ellen, don't involve the rest of us in the conversation. And the reason for that was I wanted to hear how Ellen handled her circumstances, how Ellen spoke to her about her needs, and how Ellen confirmed and assured her of doing the right program for her highest good. And she did very well. She did very well. The thing that Ellen didn't emphasize was, you're God and that's all that matters. And the thing that she didn't emphasize was, you're whole and perfect right now. Right now. 100%, 100%, 100%. And when she said she had difficulty doing the 3-hour meditation, Ellen should have said, you never have difficulty doing that which is important for you to do and that which you want to do. You never have any difficulty doing that which is important for you and that which you want to do. You know?
Yeah.
You never have. If you're going to go to the bank and pick up $30 million, you throw everything aside to go. Mm-hmm. All the promises you made, all the agreements, you say, I've got to go over there. And everybody says, you're right, you do. $30 million, yes. Forget everything else, you know. I'll hold the baby, you know. But, you see, we have to be so careful. Because when we put causes in motion, we put causes in motion that all is in divine order. And when all is in divine order, then we have no problems at all, do we?
No.
And that's kind of nice, isn't it?
All right.
So, think on these things. They're not only fun, but they work. And they bring great, wonderful results.
Yeah.
Have a lovely evening, and know I love you. I love you.
I love you.